Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Yeah, Open Phones International. We will let you know that the NBA Board of Governors had a meeting today. We are moving towards what is potentially a late July return of the NBA. There is a debate about whether or not the return would include. It sounds like it's going to include some sort of ramp up, some number of games leading up to an actual playoff scenario. Whether that's 5 to 8 games, I think that's what we got from Momo. Then a playoff situation with a potential play in. So a play-in tournament, and then we don't know really if it's a 1-16 or if it respects the conferences. But Momo says she was hearing that it was likely or more likely to be respecting the Eastern and Western conferences. So that's what we know about the return of the NBA. We have not heard anything about the return of MLB, and there was supposed to be an offer today from the MLBPA back to the owners, but we've heard nothing about that. If we do hear something, we'll let you know right away.
All right, I wanted to update you guys on a story we did in Fast Track a couple of weeks ago. Remember, Mace, I had that story about Dave Portnoy, the guy who runs Barstool.
Yeah.
He had the winning bid. Barstool is a sports and guys website that's racy, admittedly racy, but very popular.
Love that word, racy. Yeah,
they have a great podcast, but Portnoy.
Yeah, Pardon My Take is a really funny podcast.
Yeah, Portnoy is the president, El Presidente, as he calls himself, of Barstool, and he had the winning bid to watch Monday Night Football at Roger Goodell's house, and he bid $250,000. It was all going to COVID-19 related charities. We asked the question back then: will Roger Goodell allow him to do that? Because Portnoy has been Goodell's biggest critic. He's made a lifetime out of, he made a t-shirt with Roger Goodell and a clown nose on it that he sold that went like hotcakes, and he's been very outspoken about Goodell. And we thought, well, this is a chance Roger has to turn things around, invite Portnoy over, kill him with kindness, get 250 grand from him, and it all goes away. Well, today, a little after 2 o'clock, the NFL sent a letter to Dave Portnoy telling him he will not be the winner of that auction item because he didn't pass a background check. And they pointed out, in the letter, it says, in particular, the following incidents were identified: falsifying NFL credentials to gain access to Super Bowl in Atlanta in 2019. After being informed by police you were banned from entering the stadium, you defied the police and attended the game anyway. Criminal trespassing at the NFL offices in 2016. An arrest in 2015 for criminal trespassing at the NFL offices. And posting nude images of a Patriots player's 2-year-old son on the Barstool Sports website in 2011. Because of all those things, the NFL said they will donate $250,000 to 6 nonprofit organizations, and they will not charge Dave Portnoy, nor will they award him a chance to watch Monday Night Football with Roger Goodell. Mace, what do you think of the way the NFL handled this?
I think NFL handled it right. They gave the $250,000 to the charity, and they avoided what could have been a very awkward night. I think that was the right call.
Yeah, the more you look into this, the more I think Portnoy was looking to make news. And I'm not sure what he would have done had he gone to Goodell's house, but I think they figured that out. I probably still would have done it. I think sometimes when you meet the school bully backs down. And I think if Goodell and Portnoy would have sat down together, this maybe could have been squashed. But who knows? And so they elected not even to play ball with him. They backed out of it today.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was a smart call. Let's go back to the phones, man. It's Open Phones
all right.
International.
Israel from Fontana on line 3. Hi, Israel. You're on ESPN 710.
What's up, boys? How's it going? I haven't talked to you guys in at least good 10 years.
Oh, well, wow. Happy to have you back, man.
We missed you, I believe, man. How have you been?
Oh, I'm glad you remember me, Mace. I'm glad you remember me. I think the last time I spoke to you guys, I won a seat at the Hawaiian Gardens poker tournament.
How'd you do?
Nice.
Whenever this was, years and years and years ago, and I sat at Mace's table, and I met Mace and Rocky from...
Rocky Carroll, the great Rocky Carroll. Yeah, great guy.
Yeah.
Was I in a good mood that day, Israel?
What's that?
Was I in a good mood that day?
Oh, you were in a great mood. I sat right next to you. We talked a little bit about your New York day. It was pretty
Israel,
good.
Who lasted longer at the table, you or Mason?
Actually, I think Mason did because I think I actually showed up. I think I was already drunk when I got there.
Nice.
So I think Mason won. I got kicked out for sure. I lost.
Okay.
But the reason I'm calling is I heard a couple of callers before me recalling how long they listened to you guys. And I've listened to you guys forever back to when you guys would do those questions. I won tickets to Laker games, Clipper games, NASCAR. And I go back. This is how far back I go, man. This is for you.
Okay.
I always thought you were funny, but you were never the funniest. You were never the funniest when I found out all by myself, just I would, you know, because I couldn't listen to you guys at one point. So I go, you know what? What happened to Stephen Mason in Ireland? I didn't have really good AM reception on my car.
Okay.
So I looked it up, and I found out you came out. I had no idea, Mace. I swear to God, I had no idea. I seriously started busting out laughing because all I could remember is when you guys would have Jackie Johnson on, and you said you had a crush on
him. Yeah.
That was the funniest you've ever been, Mace, and you weren't even on the air.
Boy,
I loved it.
Jackie was a platonic crush on Jackie Johnson.
Yes, Jackie was so great.
You would say, how does this sound? Jackie Shemansky, or whatever your last name is. And he goes, you know what? It sounds great.
Jackie Shemansky.
I thought it was hilarious. But when I found out, I was driving home all myself in the car. You guys weren't even on the air. And that's when you were the funniest, when I found out you came out.
Oh, so
I just
wanted to
say, you guys keep it up. You guys are hilarious. And in Ireland, I'll extend out an invitation. I got a tea time at Pechanga for this Sunday, 9:30.
Oh, man.
Super, super cheap rate. You can take my number down. I got room.
Israel, I can't do it this Sunday, but maybe down the road, and I appreciate the offer. Thank you, man.
All right, man. I shout out a text message to Trav. Maybe he'll reply.
Okay, got it.
Cool.
Yeah. Thanks, Israel. By the way, Mace, on the subject of that and him finding out that your crush on Jackie Johnson was fake, did you see the tweet last hour?
I remember a joke I did back then, but I don't think I can get away with it anymore.
Yeah, probably not in 2020. But we got a tweet from Jeff earlier, and it when some guy called and said he's having trouble telling the two of us apart.
Yep.
I thought this is a very accurate tweet. He says, it's easy to tell you two apart. One comes off as the gayer of the two. The other one is Mason.
I remember people asking me, legitimately asking me, if you were gay.
Well, here's the thing.
And I was like, you guys are so missing the point here.
Yeah, if you just listened to the show and we revealed no personal information and you said, okay, you told the audience, one of those guys is gay, and they did a poll. Don't you think I'd win in a landslide?
In a landslide, yes.
I mean, I love show tunes.
Yep.
I watch Bravo nonstop.
Yep.
You know, I mean, come on.
You love watching Andy Cohen. You love watching Vanderpump Rules.
I can sing Madonna's songs on spec.
Yes, you can sing like a virgin on cue.
Right, come on. I mean, which one? As you often say, when I get like way over the edge of this mountain, yeah, and I'm the gay one. I mean,
yeah,
come
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
It makes no sense. All right, coming up, our old buddy Kevin Anavitz.
Anavitz.
One of our favorite NBA guys will join us on the show next.
All right, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What is going on? It is Friday, and it's Open Phones International. Got a bunch of your phone calls in today. And actually joining us right now is one of the best NBA writers in the business, Kevin Anavitz. Anavitz, how are you, man?
I'm well. How are you?
We're great, Kevin, and great to talk to you again. Okay, so from what we hear, these Board of Governors met today, and they tossed out four different plans. I know you've been talking to people all day. Which one is the most likely to actually happen, in your opinion?
All right. So, I mean, I don't know there's a correct answer to that. The one that seems, I think that seems most sensible and checks as many boxes is, I think they'll do the approximation of that play-in tournament we've been hearing for years.
Yeah.
Right? So you take an additional six teams or four teams, you know, like I don't know what it would be, 2022, and you'd have some kind of play-in for the last couple of seeds. I mean, the problem with that, of course, is, you know, if you're the Dallas Mavericks and it's the way it has been designed, 7 through 10, I mean, you're absolutely, you know, irate. And by the way, like in the East, hey, Orlando and Brooklyn are up big on 9 and 10. Why would you let them back in the house? Because, you know, they've determined over a long season that they're better. So it's still a little murky, and I think there are going to be some real arguments about the competitive factors here and how do you punish a team that's that good in Dallas or reward a team that's bad in Charlotte or Washington or whoever it is. So, you know, but I think some kind of plan, there's more money there. And it kind of solves a problem. If you are what I call a Zionist and you are pro Zion, he's got to be in
a Zionist, know, yes.
That's then, great. Then
it solves your problem. If it solves the Portland problem, you know, I think every possible solution is going to have opponents because invariably, whatever you come up with is going to screw somebody. Right? A team that's done its best over 60 some odd games. Why the hell do we have to play a team 10 games below 500 for our survival? Baloney. You know, so that's going to be the sticky point. Who do you want to screw?
Do you think that this layoff for the pandemic benefits any particular type of team? In other words, does it help an older team because of the layoff? Does it hurt a team that was hot before the pandemic hit and they were peaking at the right time? Is there any particular type of team that is hurt by this layoff?
So a team that would be hurt is a team that was already at full strength because they don't get anything back, right? So you could argue that the teams that benefit the most are the ones that, you know, if Portland makes this thing, but they're going to have their starting front court back that they've been missing all season. You know, all of a sudden, a Western Conference finalist is going to be fully intact with, you know, I mean, good luck, Memphis, you know, or for that matter, Dallas. So they would be helped. I think LeBron is helped. I think we've seen how good he is when he gets ample rest. You know, when he packed it in last winter and spring, you know, we all said all summer, what does LeBron look like when he hasn't played deep into June 100 games? And we saw this season what that looks like. I mean, he's as good as he's been. And just imagine another 3 months off coming out of the gate. So I think older teams would benefit. Teams that were hurt, that are reconstituted because of the delay, I think are benefited. And teams that are full strength or young don't have the advantage they would otherwise have. It's not that it hurts them, but they don't get any bump.
We're talking to our buddy Kevin Arnovitz, who has covered ESPN, covered the NBA for ESPN for a long time. Matter of fact, Arnovitz was the man behind the Heat Index.
Yeah,
when LeBron was down in Miami with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, Kevin was down there keeping track of those Heat teams. Kevin, I mentioned to Mason yesterday, and I'm not sure there's an answer to this. You're smarter about these things than I am, so I'll throw it to you. It seems to me that teams like Milwaukee and the Lakers have worked really hard all year to get home court advantage. Now home court advantage because of the pandemic is obviously out the window. No team will have home court advantage. Is there a way to give those teams something, to give those teams some type of an advantage for putting it, other than the fact that they get to play a lower seed? Is there any way to stack the deck and reward them for home court advantage, or do I just have to give it up here? It's just never going to happen.
I mean, we could shrink the diameter of the rim on the other team's bucket. I mean, you know, it's so funny because I was talking about this today is, you know, home court advantage in the NBA is everything. I mean, you go back through
right.
It's not, I mean, game seven, I mean, whatever it is, And you got to, I mean, really feel for Milwaukee and the Clippers and the Lakers, you know, teams that are one and two, or particularly the teams that are one, the Lakers and the Bucks, because, I mean, you, as you said, you work hard for that. It is a decided advantage, especially, I would say, for Milwaukee, a younger team, and it's the place they're most comfortable. And I'm sort of, it is going to be really, it's a tough beat for them. It's also why I think, if even if we're back to the current format, 4-4-4-4, like, I think there's going to be so much parity. Not only have you broken rhythm, you've got these reconstituted teams, as we already discussed. You've got no more home advantage. I think, I mean, who the hell knows? I mean, we might see a 4-3, or, I mean, in the finals. I just think there's going to be a ton of parity because it introduces randomness. I still think the best teams are the best teams. The Bucks and the Lakers, and a step down from there, the Clippers are, to me, still the class of the field. But I just think that this introduces more randomness and evens the playing field in both ways that are practical and psychological and are real.
All right. Well, listen, Kevin, thank you very much for coming on. Appreciate it as always. And we will talk to you soon.
You got it.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, that's the thing that's kind of scary. It increases the randomness.
He's right.
The way we're going to see the league moving forward. We are going to see potentially some very unexpected things, maybe a big unexpected upset during the course of this, because as he said, some of these teams benefit from the layoff and some of these teams may actually be hurt by it.
Yeah, and the fact that no one is traveling, my sense is that's going to, you asked the question, who does this help? Who does the layoff help? If I asked you the question, who does the Orlando, if assuming it's Orlando, who does the one site tournament style format help? And my feeling on that is it helps the best players.
Correct.
The
correct.
Elite players, the guys like Giannis and LeBron, because there's no travel fatigue.
You eliminate travel and you allow the most talented players to do what they do. I completely agree with you. I think although there will be randomness in the lower parts of the bracket, you know, like the 4-5 and the 6-3 could be very surprising. But I think that in the end, the talent, the cream is going to rise to the top here. And that benefits teams like Milwaukee and the Lakers and I guess also the Clippers. Hurts me to say it. Hurts me to say it. All right. Open Phones International. One more segment of your phone calls. 877-710-ESPN. At 5 o'clock, we got 5 o'clock Fast Track coming up for you. 877-710-ESPN. Mason and Ireland, 710-ESPN. All right, 710-ESPN. Mason and Ireland, what is up? It is Friday, and it is Open Phones International, which means we are taking calls from all over the world. So far, we have not had an international call, which is a little bit disappointing, but I was hoping for a call from Stuttgart. We have a regular listener in Stuttgart, it's not West Germany anymore, it's just Germany. We have not heard from him yet.
So I just got a response from one of our listeners, Gary Williamson. We were talking to Ramona earlier. We were showing those college baseball highlights with her and Jessica Mendoza running into each other. And Gary says, I thought Momo went to Cal. And my response is, she did. Ask her. So if you want to find out if Ramona did go to Cal, you should reach out to Ramona and ask her, Ramona, did you go to Cal?
I went to Cal.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, there it is. You know.
By the way, one other development today, L.A. County has been given permission to reopen restaurants, barbershops, and salons. The L.A. Los Angeles County Friday received permission from the state to reopen for in-person dining. And John, you have said that you will be the first one.
I would like to go tonight. If I wasn't playing video, digital poker with my poker group tonight, I would go, but I would be by myself, Mace, because Lisa Ireland will not go.
And by the way, and your poker game is not in person because any of your poker friends will not get together.
Well, there is a percentage of guys that for whatever reason don't like video poker, so they're protesting until we actually have our regular sit down game again. But those guys could be waiting for a long time because the majority of the group wants to do online.
Yeah, I am.
You
I am
are. Actually, by the way, you're in Lisa Ireland's camp, right? You don't want to go to restaurants. Don't want to play poker. You don't want to do anything that involves groups of people, right?
You know, John, I am going to let you be the lab rat.
Happy to do it.
Once you go out there, and I see you still standing after a couple of weeks of dining, then I will consider it. I am this weekend going to make a trip out. I am going to go to see my acupuncturist.
I talked to my acupuncture doctor yesterday, and I said, "Are you still open?" And he said, "Yes. We normally have 24 patients a day. We're doing 8 patients a day. And after a patient leaves, we completely wipe down the room."
Yep.
And so, those people are starting to go get back to work. So yeah, I'll be anxious to hear how that goes. The bottom line is, it depends how important whatever it is you're doing really is to you. Like you said many times, you don't want to do anything in public with a group until I mention Rams Cowboys opening night. Then you said I'm in.
So yeah, but see, that's a long time from now. I don't know what
right,
the world
but if
is going
to
look
but,
like
but
on
acupuncture,
September the 13th.
Acupuncture is important enough to you that you're going to go and give it a try.
For me, it is a medical treatment that I require, and I've not had it for 3 months.
Okay, so when is the last time you had a massage? Have you had a massage during the pandemic?
God, no.
Would you
no.
do that?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't know how many different people that massage therapist has done. An acupuncturist is going to wear gloves.
And use needles so they're not putting their hands directly on you.
Correct. They're not actually. A massage therapist gets all up in you.
Our old friend Trojan Al is on line one with a very Trojan Al's been coming to our remotes for years and years, been a loyal listener to Mason in Ireland, and he has a very interesting point here. Trojan Al, you're on ESPN LA 710. How are you?
Gentlemen, I am doing fine. It is so nice to hear from you guys. I've been listening way too long, and to hear some of these people talk about how long they've been listening to you guys.
Yeah, 7 years. You've been with us like 25.
Yeah, I even go back to when Rick Schwartz was upstairs in the Roachville above Hot Dog on a Stick.
On a Stick, absolutely.
Yeah, so I know that. But the one thing I told your screener is that I don't know if you guys can look back at all the places that you've had remotes, maybe up until the last year, but Papa's burned down. Good Guys went out of business. Outback is gone. Stratton is gone. And I could go on and on. And I'm just like, man, these guys are just jinxing these places.
We're just killing.
Well, in all fairness, Al, isn't every place closed right now?
No, but you know what, guys? I thought you were going to forget where Dave was in the car wash, and I forgot who Lenny Dykstra's car wash.
Yeah,
but we've challenged Lindsay to recreate that. Al, she says she might do it.
She said
she might do it.
One thing I think you guys should still do is the 24 hours at Anaheim Stadium. Best time I ever had.
You know, that was one of our all-time shows. So what Al's talking about is 1 year we were the Angels station, and they were in a pivotal weekend series against the A's.
Yep.
And Mason came up with the idea. He goes, we were on from 3 to 6 like we are now, I think. And Mason said, let's go on at a 3 o'clock on a Thursday and stay on for, I think we actually stayed on 27 hours.
Then I left early.
Yeah, because we did from 3 o'clock Thursday until 6 o'clock Friday,
and right up to the baseball game started.
Right, that was the Angels pregame show at 6 o'clock on Friday night, and it was actually fun.
I was there with you guys, so I know.
We had people bringing us coffee. All right, you're welcome, Al. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Al.
Mace, remember, you had your dogs there. People were bringing outfits for your dogs. And
yeah,
we were playing wiffle ball in the Angel Stadium parking lot. And people were bringing us In-N-Out and donuts and beer. And man, it actually turned out to be...
That was fun.
We got really hopped up on coffee, so we never really burned out. And it turned out to be, I think I slept for that entire weekend after, but it was really fun to do.
Yeah, we weren't even awake for the games. After we did the entire 24-hour pregame show, we couldn't even stay awake to see the A's play the Angels. Yeah, I doubt we would do that again. We would do that. I would do that for
if the Lakers make the NBA. Well, yes. I probably couldn't because I have to do the games. But
I would do it. I would do 24-hour pregame show.
You and Lindsay could do it. And
Sliwa.
I could do it if the Rams made the Super Bowl. I would do it.
Yes.
This year. You think this is their year?
In Tampa. Yeah.
Hey,
Rams
let's
versus
get
Bucks.
Tim in South Pasadena has an idea. Hey, Tim, you're on ESPN LA 710. How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing good. How about yourself, fellas?
Good, Tim.
Excellent, man.
So this is very specific for the Lakers and the Clippers. If the Lakers and the Clippers, let's say, meet in the Western Conference Finals,
yep.
couldn't they theoretically play at Staples Center and it would limit the amount of people because they're playing in one stadium or one arena?
I don't think so, man. I think that they are committed to this one location thing, and you couldn't just
move
it to L.A.
Wait a minute, Mace, to accept Tim's premise. At that point, if they were to meet in the finals, it would be September.
Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, the Western Conference Finals. It would be August or September. At that point, the Rams potentially could be open for business. The Dodgers at SoFi. The Dodgers could be playing at Dodger Stadium. It may be a different world by then.
Yeah, but I don't think you can just all of a sudden move a series to a home arena. Everybody is playing in this neutral site the entire time.
If it's the arena for both teams?
It would limit the amount of people in regards to health. I mean, I understand the bubble, but at the same time, you don't have, two arenas. You're not exposing a ton of people. You're just exposing the two teams, and that's it, and it's in one arena.
But then when do the NBA Finals get played, and where do they get played? If Clippers, Lakers winner, where do they play Milwaukee?
But at that point, you only have two teams. You're only limiting two arenas, and that's it.
I think it's worth. I think it's worth putting a pin in and saying let's consider it. I don't know. I think they're going to want to try and minimize health risk.
Right.
So
if it's neutral court, no fans. What does it matter if it's at Staples Center or it's in Orlando?
Well, they could sleep in their own beds.
Yeah, I think they're going to have beds at fancy hotels.
Both teams.
I think just having it at least in the cities themselves is enough of an advantage, even if fans aren't there.
All right, Tim, thank you for the phone call. I think it's something, Mace, that fans are certainly going to ask for if the Lakers meet the Clippers. We're going to get a lot of calls that week saying, why aren't they playing this series in L.A.?
If there are no fans? What does it matter? If there are no fans, what does it matter if it's in Orlando or in L.A.?
Well, I could ask the same question. If there's no fans at Dodger Stadium, why not play all the games in Arizona? Then the teams wouldn't have to move around. There would be no traveling. It's just because they're both in L.A. The reason the Dodgers and the other baseball players want to play in their own stadiums is so they can have a sense of normalcy and live at home half the time.
Right.
This would be a unique situation where both teams would be from the same city.
Yeah, I guess I just don't get that it would be a big advantage or disadvantage for either, except all of a sudden, then where's Milwaukee play their games? In Milwaukee?
I don't know.
Isn't that giving the LA teams an advantage?
Could you, when you get to the NBA Finals, like let's say the NBA Finals are Lakers-Bucks.
Right.
Could you pull those two teams out of Orlando and let them each play in their own stadium, or is that adding unnecessary travel to the mix?
I mean, you're obviously adding unnecessary travel. You're adding travel.
But baseball's going to have travel, football's going to have travel, and at that point, baseball and football will both be playing.
Yeah, well, we assume, right? We assume everything is going to go along this
line.
Yeah,
by the way, baseball story didn't seem to get any better today. Where are you at on that? Are you still confident they're going to come to their senses and play?
I am. I don't think the owners would dare destroy the valuations of their franchises by damaging another season. I think it would be an absolute disaster for the sport. And the owners are in the wrong here completely. I mean, I just tweeted this out a little while ago. NFL players being paid their full salaries, despite diminished revenues, by the way, with no fans potentially. NBA players being paid a pro rata share of their salaries despite no fans and that additional revenue that the owners will be missing. How can Major League Baseball owners justify forcing its players to give them a discount? I really think if there's no Major League Baseball season, it lands squarely on the shoulders of those billion-dollar owners. I think they'll come to their senses.
Hope so. Hope you're right.
By the way, why would baseball be any different? NFL players are getting their salaries. NBA players are getting their pro rata shares of their salaries. Why would Major League Baseball players give up money in this scenario when every other major sport is paying their players fully?
All right, let me say this. I agree with you. You and I share the same position. The counter argument is that baseball is the sport where a larger percentage of money comes from the gate than any other sport. You know, football only has 16 games. NBA has 82. Baseball has normally 162. So since 30% of the revenue comes from gate, the owners are asking the players to take a bigger haircut. Having said all that, I agree with you. But that's the answer to your question.
By the way, in Germany, in the Bundesliga or whatever their soccer thing is, what is it called?
Well, if we had our Stuttgart caller online, they could help us with that.
It's like the Bundesliga or whatever that is in Germany. You know what they're doing? Isn't it the Bundesliga? Something like that.
Bundesliga?
What they're doing is they are letting you buy the right to have your cardboard cutout at the stadium for the games.
It's
a way to generate revenue. And by the way, I think I would do that. I would do that for Dodger Stadium. I'd want my cardboard cutout to be there. They are putting tarps over massive numbers of empty seats, and then they're putting CGI ads on those tarps. There are lots of ways. If these are really smart guys, they should be able to dream up ways to generate more revenue. Come on, baseball owners. You guys are smart. You're from the tech world. You're from the finance world. Figure it out. There are ways to make more money to make up for the lost revenue of having fans there. All right. That's that. All right. Coming up next for you is Fast Track. 5 o'clock Fast Track. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.